Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. With the new farm bill, farmers may have access to fewer dollars for conservation. For 27 years, the popular Conservation Reserve Program has transformed small parcels of land. But as Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer reports from Iowa, the program has been enrolling fewer acres in recent years, and it's not just budget cuts that could make it smaller still.
Environmental specialist Sean McCoy works for the Iowa Department of Agriculture. He's driving to a spot in Boone County where there's a brand new wetland thanks to the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP.
This is like the headwaters of the Onion Creek watershed right here, the beginning of it. And this is all CRP here, this whole big 80 acres here.
Pectoral sandpipers peck along the shore of this new small pond. Canada geese float on the water. Two landowners here will get payments from the federal government in exchange for not farming this land for 10 or 15 years and implementing a conservation plan. McCoy says water will pool here in the spring and fall, providing habitat for these birds. Then native plants will take over.
In the years to come, that vegetation will denitrify all the nitrates that are in the water.
Water that comes from 500 acres of mostly farmland. The state partners with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to expand CRP's reach. This new wetland will contribute to a larger watershed project McCoy coordinates.
We want to improve the health of the watershed, to improve the health of the water, and to improve the health of everything downstream, I think, you know. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
That greater good notion fuels state-federal partnerships, but it doesn't necessarily motivate farmers. In 2012, CRP paid farmers $1.7 billion. The number of acres enrolled in the program peaked in 2007. It has fallen every year since. Last year saw the lowest enrollment since 1989. 3 hours southeast in Washington, Iowa, farmer John Berto is committed to conservation. He's had acres enrolled in CRP since at least 1995.
This used to be a little three-cornered patch. It came with the farm and was, oh, there goes some deer.
We've stopped beside an 8-acre CRP-funded tree stand.
The government paid me some real money and we planted it to these trees and it's just turned out beautiful.
It also helps prevent erosion. The USDA says CRP projects have restored millions of acres of wetlands and kept hundreds of millions of pounds of nitrogen and phosphorus out of waterways nationwide. Berto sees the benefits for long-term soil health and does some conservation work without help from Uncle Sam. That's because he sees the fertility of his land as his son's future.
I'm 62 years old. If it wasn't for my two sons, I'd run this operation another till I'm 70 or something, and I'd farm it fence row to fence row.
With today's high grain prices, some farmers are choosing not to renew CRP contracts as they expire. That's a trend Mark Rasmussen has noticed in Iowa. He's director of the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture at Iowa State University.
We've got a lot of CRP land that has been brought back out into production. In driving around the state these past few months, I've seen a lot of piles of trees sitting around, too, where little small acres, little odd corners and fields have that used to be in trees or something have been pulled out so that that land can be brought into production, too.
So while today you can drive across the Midwest and see trees, birds, and grasses on land the federal government has paid farmers to stop farming, those vistas may not last. Contracts on 3.3 million acres of CRP land will expire in September. By then, there should be a new farm bill, and we'll find out how much land it allows for CRP and how many farmers choose to stick with or join the program. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
If you are a fan of wine, particularly European wines, you can be proud of the role Missouri plays in creating that wine. Ever since the mid-1800s, roots from Missouri grapes have been grafted onto European wines for the natural resistance to pests. As Adam Allington reports, the wine industry is focusing on Missouri grapes once again. However, this time it's because of their genetics and potential to withstand the effects of climate change.
A recent study predicts over the next 50 years, climate change could phase out as much as 70% of the world's current vineyards. That's according to the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. As you can imagine, that would have huge implications for wine, as well as a whole slew of other agricultural products. It's a situation that's concerned this man for years.
My name is Laszlo Kovács, and I am from Hungary originally.
Kovach is a biologist at Missouri State University in Springfield, specializing in grape genetics. It turns out that Missouri has played a key role in the past and present of global viticulture.
Missouri has a very large and very rich, very diverse wild grapevine population. And these grapevines have already been used for the past 150 years.
Back in the 1800s, Missouri's grapevines were sent to France because of the resistance to a pest called the phylloxera aphid. These days, there's renewed interest in native species because of other adaptations to factors such as drought.
We have a grape species called the rock grape, appropriately named, because it grows on gravel bars around rivers that are very, very dry, sun-baked areas. Virtually no other plant can survive. These rock grapes, the fruit is... You would characterize it as undrinkable.
Even if that's the case, it isn't the fruit of the rock grapevine that researchers are interested in. Allison Miller is a biologist working with St. Louis University's Center for Sustainability. And the vines she's showing me aren't from France or Australia. They're from right here in Missouri. On the table in front of us are several dozen tiny vines representing two native species of Missouri grapes.
These two species are adapted to different environments in nature. So one group of our grapevines will receive a drought treatment, and the other one will serve as a control. And what we're interested in is differences in gene expression.
Miller says each species will be subject to drought and control treatments, which will then help identify so-called genetic markers, potentially making it possible to then breed those traits into other grapes. In a few weeks, these vines will be planted outside at the Missouri Botanical Garden, where workers are busy installing trellises. Miller's partnering with MoBot to test the vines at various temperatures and conditions throughout the summer. But even if some of our current vineyards do disappear, it doesn't necessarily mean the death of the wine industry. Corey Bumgars is the head of winemaking operations at Les Bourgeois Vineyards outside Columbia. He says winemakers are used to phasing out certain species and growing grapes in new locations.
You know, traditional Napa Cab might not be the same as it was 20 years ago.
Whether or not you feel that fact is a cause for celebration is a matter of taste, but native species will likely be a key factor in determining what kind of wine we drink and where we get it. I'm Adam Allington in St. Louis.
That's all for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.
Take the cork from the bottle of the warm red wine and fill my glass up again.